I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, add this to your hump day, because once we are finished with our hump show, we will launch you forward into your hump day. If you're just waking up on this Wednesday morning, 54.5 million people are under winter weather warnings this morning. Yeah, Jim Cantore is all over it. In fact, he is live in Philadelphia this morning. So Philadelphia, New York City, parts of New England like Boston, again, all in the path of yet another nor'easter. So the fourth one since the beginning of March, which is incredible. This one's called Winter Storm Toby, and it's making its way across the mid-Atlantic and into the Northeast. And so if you're under those winter weather warnings, I feel you. It seems like global warming somehow missed the Northeast. It's actually officially spring. It is now officially spring on the calendar. And yet a major section of the country is stuck in the movie Frozen. I don't even know how to explain it other than it feels like we're never going to see the sun again. So I'm not complaining. I'm just merely pointing it out that we have another snowstorm coming. And then I'll be happy when real spring is here. Old Man Winter, he's cranky and he's jealous. So too many people talking about spring and craving spring and forgetting all about winter and looking forward to... Great. This makes it so much better. Uh-huh. We did have a couple people suggest this was the best film soundtrack of all time.
Guess how many views?
How many?
1.5 billion.
What? Is this from the original? This is the original video?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, think about the number of children who were stuck in the movie Frozen for about 2 years. I have cousins. I have friends who have kids that, you know, that this age appeals. And they would tell me that they couldn't put any other movie in the DVD player, not in the car, not at home. The only thing their kiddos wanted to watch for a couple of years was Frozen. And now we're living it. So if you are in the path of Winter Storm Toby and one of those 54.5 million people under a winter weather warning, that's not even a watch, that's just the warnings, please be safe on this hump day. Please take every precaution. And don't you worry, we'll still be here tonight. Even though my mom wants to know what happens if I can't get to work, my response was to laugh out loud. I mean, there is no can't. Well, what's my favorite Yoda line? Do or do not. There is no try, baby. That's what we do here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for all your questions. Yoda's better than you. Thanks for all your questions for Ask Amy Anything, and we'll pick it up again next week. And don't forget, the winner of the After Hours Bracket Challenge gets to ask questions on a future Ask Amy Anything, maybe our birthday week, because that would be right after the Final Four. We'll do a big video reveal, and we'll let you know who won the bracket challenge, and then you get to ask questions on it. Maybe Tony Romo will weigh in and will want to ask some questions like that on a future hump show. March Madness is almost back again. We're going to go Sweet 16 down to the Final Four Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tune in all this week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV on the go with March Madness Live, or listen on Westwood One. You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Many of you debating the validity of my claim that propane and gas grills are not real or legitimate. That's fine. A-Law Radio again, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot of you responding to this idea of a fourth professional football league in North America. Can this one continent sustain NFL, CFL, the XFL, which we know will return in the spring of 2020, and now we're going to have another football league that's going to sneak in before the XFL returns, called the AAF. It's just, it does not roll off the tongue. It stands for the Alliance of American Football. And while you may think it's overkill, the AAF will debut after next year's Super Bowl. So it gets in before the XFL to maybe capture your attention and to get the sponsorships. Here's a side note. The games have already found a broadcast home. CBS will carry the AAF games. Every time I say the AF part, it feels like I'm talking about the Air Force or some conference in college basketball. The AAF will debut the week after Super Bowl 53. It will run 10 weeks. They'll have 50-man teams. And they've already got some big names from the sports world involved, like Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, former NFL GM, longtime safety for the Steelers, Troy Polamalu. He's going to oversee the player side. You're going to have other guys involved like Hines Ward and Justin Tuck and Jared Allen. So just by virtue of the fact that these guys are putting their money and their support behind the AAF, it's got an okay logo. It's not bad. It's red, white, and blue with a shadow of a football in the middle. But Chris Ebersol is the founder. Dick Ebersol, is that his dad? I'm assuming that's his dad. And so you're talking about big-time names in the world of football and of sports broadcasting. So if they do it the right way, plus they've got the games to air on CBS, will they steal whatever audience might have been waiting around for the XFL? Interesting question. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then you can call us, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. If you missed my conversation with All-American linebacker Joel Lanning from Iowa State, he joined us in the first hour of the show. Talk about a unique story. The guy went from quarterback to linebacker his final year of eligibility, played both sides of the ball, including against Oklahoma in a major upset in Norman this season. He sacked Baker Mayfield. Maybe that's a reason why he was named All-American. So Joel Lanning didn't get invited to the combine, but he's getting ready for his pro day in Ames. And he joined us to talk about his unique story, his path, and what he has to prove to general managers and scouts who may show up at his pro day. But really unique because you just don't get college players at the upper echelon, Big 12 football, operating on both sides of the ball. But he says being a quarterback and then converting to Mike linebacker actually gave him an incredible perspective because he understood how the offense was working and he could see things that maybe other members of the defense couldn't see because of his background on that side of the ball. But he also was throwing touchdown passes and he was taking handoffs to while he was in the game as a linebacker, I guess, when he was supposed to be on the sidelines as a linebacker. So that's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. And then we'll put it on our YouTube channel too. Saquon Barkley was part of his pro day, the Penn State pro day, on Tuesday, and yet he didn't work out. Kind of raised some eyebrows in State College, Pennsylvania, with some ripple effects around the country. He found out, apparently, that no NFL runnings backs coach. It's a hump show. I try so hard. I kind of cut myself some slack on hump show. No running backs coaches would be in attendance. So he thought, well, if the coaches aren't showing up, then what am I going through drills for? What am I working out for? Plus his combine went really well, and that's an understatement. He had actually planned to participate in workouts, but he decided he wasn't going to go through the testing again. And then when none of the running back coaches showed up, said, well, no point for me to run routes or do drills because I don't even have any position coaches here. But he will start meeting with teams very soon. And so I don't know that I would call it controversy. I don't think it was that big. But there certainly were some headlines and some eyebrows raised over the fact that he decided not to work out at his own pro day. But on NFL Network, in an interview he did afterwards, he talked about blocking out the criticism and what people might say about him and sticking to the game plan, though he admits he hears it.
You see what everyone's saying about you on social media and stuff like that, but I try my best to block it out, and I wish right now I knew where I was going, but you have no idea. So the way I just attack that is just coming to work every single day. Obviously, I've got some things to do with, like, marketing and stuff like that, but the main focus is playing football, and the main focus is trying to be a great pro. So taking care of my body, talking to vets, learning from them, and continue to attack training and pushing myself every single day so I'm prepared for this long grind season.
You can maybe hear Kim Jones of the NFL Network in the background there. She was the one doing the interview with Saquon Barkley on the NFL Network. And she also asked him how he felt about draft order and where he might be selected in the draft. And he gave, I think, the standard line that most guys give or should be giving. I'm the best player in the draft, but I don't care where I get drafted. But he did say he felt like he had proved everything at the combine already, but that he was looking forward to these individual meetings with teams again. So obviously he would have met with a lot of the same team personnel during the combine, but maybe on different terms, right? So we know the Giants worked out Josh Rosen recently and had an opportunity to see him again. These are coaches and scouts doing their due diligence and getting these players away from the combine where they're exhausted, they've had to go through medical tests, in addition to a bunch of other factors that might impact their physical state and how tired they are. I mean, we hear it from players all the time, how exhausted they are after going through the combine, and they feel like there's no time to sleep, and that's part of the challenge, is just fighting through the fatigue. So this puts the players, these team meetings, this process as we lead toward the draft, puts the players on a more even field and maybe more comfortable, not quite so on edge, and definitely not as tired. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and let me know what you think about these four football leagues that will soon be competing. Robert is in Youngstown, Ohio. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Greetings, Nathaniel. How you doing?
I'm good.
With having all these leagues, there's only one problem I see, because I think football could sustain 52 weeks out a year, but the one problem would be quarterbacks. The NFL doesn't have enough quarterbacks to make that league legit completely, if you agree with that.
I don't. I think the NFL is pretty legit.
I'm talking about quarterbacks, and I don't think every team has a legit quarterback.
Well, they all have a legit quarterback. They're not all elite quarterbacks. And certainly there are some teams that are in the process of transitioning from one QB to another. But you're talking about a very elite position for sure, and there are only so many who can do it above average or continue to be out there year after year. I still say that the NFL has a better group of guys who are playing that position and more backups who are ready to step in than any other football league that might start up.
What do you think about this, Amy? The Browns draft a quarterback at 1 and 4 and then put a, you know, give me an offer. Tell teams to give me an offer for what quarterback you want.
Oh, so hoarding the QBs and then hoping they can get what would they be asking for in a trade, though? I mean, for a rookie QB, what would you be asking for in a trade?
Some of these teams, I think, would give up a lot, especially if the Browns grab two of the best quarterbacks coming out this year. I think that would happen. I'm not sure, but.
Well, I believe there's a limited market. So let's just say they do draft both QBs. It's also maybe a wasted opportunity to get another player that they really like to address another need. Let's face it, the Browns could use a QB, but they also can use a lot of other things. And then what happens if they can't make a trade and they're stuck with this extra QB, plus they have Tyrod Taylor? Right, that's a major risk. So I say you worry about you, and you don't worry about anybody else. I think at this point they've made a lot of trades. They've brought in a bunch of free agents and some veterans, and now they're trying to figure out what to do with all these extra draft picks. But I feel like that's a risk that probably John Dorsey wouldn't take, because it's a waste of time. Just get what you need and get on with your rebuilding project.
Okay, Miss Amy, enjoy your pasta and have a great night.
Yeah, I don't need pasta at this time of the day, but it is something that I kind of feel like power of suggestion I might have to make a little later on. Oh, no, scratch that. What did I already tell you guys? It's Winter Storm Toby versus Amy, and Amy's going chilly to chase away the Winter Storm first day of spring blues. So yeah, take that, Winter Storm Toby.
Yes!
All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Again, we're taking your tweets about a potential fourth professional football league in North America by 2020. it's going to take me some time to get used to the AAF, but that would try to sneak in before the XFL. Can North America support four leagues? And if I'm not mistaken, the XFL and the AAF would be at the same time of the year, so on the calendar year, because XFL was supposed to be a spring league as well. So we could have fans having to line up and take sides, I guess. But whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, you can find us there too, plus our phone number. Straight ahead, two battles between playoff teams on Tuesday night in the NBA that went down to the wire. Good stuff. Maybe a preview of the postseason. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
It was just a matter of time, America.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
About 10, 11 games left in the regular season for NBA teams, which means every game, every night has major playoff implications for those teams trying to hang on to their spots or to move up in the standings. And we had some good games on Tuesday night, like the Timberwolves and the Clippers. Clippers desperately trying to work their way back up into the top eight in the West. Minnesota trying to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
Number three.
Here he attacks Thornwell into the paint. Out to Wiggins. He'll rise up for a triple try and hit. Andrew Wiggins with his second triple of the game. He's up to 17 points. Timberwolves now on a 13-0 run. Lead 72-59.
Alan Horton with the call on the Timberwolves radio network. There's been no playoffs for the T-Wolves since the 03-04 season. So they are desperate to get back into the postseason. But right now in seventh, Utah had been really hot and trying to keep the Clippers on the outside looking in and still running the gamut. We're talking about a tough stretch in these final 3 weeks.
We had a lot of guys step up and play their best when their best was needed. Now there's still a long way to go. It's one game. We got 10 to go. There's, you know, it's going to be a long, hard fight. We can't exhale. We got to get ready for the next one.
Tom Thibodeau pretty much tossing every possible sports cliche at you, but they all apply. Why? Because the Timberwolves are just a half game ahead of the Jazz. Those two teams are seventh and eighth place, with Denver and L.A. looming just behind. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Staying in the West, how about this matchup? The Rockets, who'd won five in a row and 22 of their last 23 against the Portland Trail Blazers, only the hottest team in the NBA with a 13-game win streak, hosting the Rockets on Tuesday night. And let's not forget, these are two of the best backcourts in the league. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Chris Paul, and James Harden, all of them on the same court together.
Number two.
Down to five, down to four. James, double team, another deep three-pointer, and he hit it again! Against two Blazers defenders! That's Harden's 11th 40th point game of the season! 1.3. Lillard takes the inbounds, 30-footer to end the game, is off the back heel. And ladies and gentlemen, in the Pacific Northwest, it's a Rockets win. And the winning streak for the Blazers is over.
I love the melodrama. A combined 64 points for CP3 and James Harden, but Harden loves to play the Blazers. 42 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and boy, is his coach, Mike D'Antoni, thrilled that he's not facing Harden having to game plan against this guy night after night.
He's unique. I mean, yeah, that's the best offensive player I've ever seen. It's just, he does that. And they're running guys too. I mean, just steps a little further back and makes a three. And just, you know, the way he can pass and see the floor, get fouls, layups, floaters, maybe a lob, maybe out to the corner. I mean, just, he has so many weapons.
And having Chris Paul in the same backcourt adds to that versatility because of the craftiness and the clever way that Paul approaches his point guard position. The two of them can morph back and forth. Blazers have their win streak stopped. You hear it there on the Rockets radio network. Rockets now with a 4-game cushion atop the West. They are nearing 60 wins this season. They've won 23 of their last 24. All right, you got to do it in the playoffs, though, for it to actually count, to actually be real. Speaking of playoff spots, the Celtics have already clinched, but they were hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday night in a game that also required every last second.
Number one.
Tatum, great shake off of Brewer. Three, got it.
Ooh. All right, good.
That was straight nasty.
87-85.
Tatum was going one way. Brewer was going the opposite way.
21-10 for Tatum. One of his best games of a spectacular rookie year. Melo, quick three. Got it. OKC had been 6 of 21 shooting threes. They've made three in a row with the money on the table.
And then they added a fourth, Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell, on the Celtics radio network. It was a wild night at the Garden. And here's how it played out in those final few seconds. So the Thunder have the lead, actually. And then you get Carmelo Anthony on the free throw line for a pair. So they got a two-point lead. He's got two free throws, but he misses them both. And so the Celtics get the rebound and sets us up for a dramatic conclusion.
Tatum switches to the right hand, stumbles in the paint, kick out Morris, steps to his right, three in the air.
Oh!
Got it! He got it! Marcus Morris hit the three, and the Celtics have the lead with 1.2 to go.
I mean, that'll wake you up on a Wednesday morning, Celtics fans. The Thunder had their win streak stopped, and they're still below 500 on the road. However, they're just as in the thick of the playoff race in the West as all the other teams that we've talked about. But yeah, what a finish. And two nationally televised games between the Celtics and the Thunder, and then the Rockets and the Blazers, giving us a taste of what the playoffs could be like. And they're almost here, just a few weeks away from the end of the NBA regular season. We set some March Madness on the college basketball court before then, but this kind of applies March Madness here too. All right, we'll take your phone calls coming up, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Richard Sherman with a bright red tailor-made suit for his introduction in the Bay Area. And can North America support four professional football leagues?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I had a friend that sent me a text earlier saying she could never sleep when a winter storm was pending. So maybe you are completely out of your routine because you're worried about Winter Storm Toby bearing down on, well, Philadelphia is already getting it. The New York City metro and surrounding areas will be in winter storm warnings very soon, and then on up into New England. So another nor'easter. 54.5 million people will be under winter storm warnings. At least now there could be more who are added. So please be safe. Please be careful. I feel like we've done this before. On Hump Show, on Hump Day, we have talked about this before. Last week, it was a storm that was bearing down on Boston and dumping a couple of feet of snow. And I think really the number of people who are excited about it is dwindling. Jim Cantore, though, is still thrilled. And he's live in Philadelphia, according to his Twitter. When Jim Cantore's in your neighborhood, then you know it's not going to be your day. It's going to be a tougher hump day than normal. Please be careful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots of your tweets about whether or not North America can support four professional football leagues. I love football as much as anyone. I do. And I crave football Sundays. We were talking about most iconic and recognizable sports theme music during Ask Amy about an hour ago. And I mentioned the NFL on CBS. That music gets my blood pumping. It goes directly into my bloodstream, I feel like. It's steroids, for heaven's sakes. Because it gets me all jazzed up. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Some guy sent me a tweet with four emojis of the face with the hearts for eyes because he's so in love with the football music and just the football in general. We got a long way to go. Stop teasing me. Stop teasing me. Anyway, I love football. We love football in this country. And from a sports radio talk show host perspective, football is the only sport that I could talk about year round and people still care. It's the only sport outside of the postseason, okay? So playoffs don't count when we're having this conversation because certainly we all care about the World Series regardless of where we are in the country. And the majority of sports fans will get into the NBA and the NHL playoffs even if they didn't care as much during the regular season. Same thing with college football or college basketball. But when it comes to the NFL, I can talk about a story in the offseason that is about a team in Florida and people in the Pacific Northwest care. Opposite side, opposite end of the country. People in cities or states that don't have an NFL team still care about the NFL. It's a juggernaut. We know it's a cash cow. But there's also something to the idea of oversaturation and overkill. The CFL doesn't get nearly as much attention as the NFL. even though their seasons are not the same time. Will the XFL and the, what is it called again? The AAF? It makes me want to do the AARP, which, you know, it does feature some older retired NFL guys. That's not really fair. The AAF and soon the XFL after that, will football fans feel fatigue coming off of the Super Bowl launching right into a brand new football league? And we had a caller make a valid point. What about the talent level? It's hard for NFL teams to keep a 53-man roster that's talented, that's deep. And a lot of that has to do with the salary cap, but it also has to do with injuries. You're certainly not going to get NFL players unless they've been cut from their own teams or can't find a free agent deal. They're not going to be allowed to participate, nor would they want to, more than likely, even if they didn't make the Super Bowl, because the pounding over the course of the season is so great that you need that time off. So when you think about going from the Super Bowl right into another football season, is it the ugly redheaded stepchild of the NFL and people aren't going to pay attention, or they might tune in, but the competition's not as great? Is this a minor league baseball to a major league baseball deal? It's not bad to have another development league, but this isn't necessarily attached to the NFL. It might feature some Hall of Famers in key roles, certainly their financial backing, but will it be able to stand on its own two feet? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. Something to be said for the people who miss football, though. Definitely we miss football. We have a wealth of news from the time the Super Bowl ends. We've been talking about quarterbacks, the free agency, the high-profile free agents who have changed teams, even stayed in their divisions. All of these guys have now been introduced, and there are still some other signings that are taking place. It's not like the NFL goes away. We just don't have games. So is there this massive hole that the AARP, AAF can fill, or are we still going to be more inclined to follow what's happening in the offseason in the NFL? Caesar is listening in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Amy?
Hey.
You know, I never watched the, XFL? Was that what the league's called? I never got a chance to watch it because I was too young.
The Vince McMahon one?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I watch wrestling. But, you know, the way you're saying it, I wouldn't be really much interested into the AARP league.
I'm sorry. That's so my fault. I shouldn't have said that.
Nah, I know. I'm just messing with you. But the reason is because, you know, you got March Madness. You got college basketball going on during the same time if this AARP league was to go on.
True.
So, you know, me personally, I wouldn't have time to, you know, switch back and forth to some, you know, unnecessary or unproductive football game when I could just watch something real and something that's more important and more on the line.
More authentic, but, for sure. And the fact that it's a tournament and it's one and done and you've got all these incredible storylines and moments that play out. Yeah, for sure. And pretty much anything pales in comparison to March Madness, but a startup league that's attempting to find a foothold with sports fans, that could be a tough sell.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I was calling you about some NBA playoffs.
Okay.
You know, everybody's talking about Houston Rockets and the Toronto Raptors, and they're not really looking at Cleveland. The reason is because Cleveland's been on and off the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, till I see some from Toronto in the playoffs, then I'm not getting off the Cleveland Cavaliership. And over here in the Western Conference, it's the same picture. Now, how many times has Chris Paul and Jim Harden been in the league, but they never succeed in the playoffs? You've seen it in Chris Paul with the Clippers, Doc Rivers, you know, they choke every time they get in the playoffs. You seen it last year with James Harden going against the Spurs, he didn't even show up in the game 7.
Right.
So I'll let you talk, Amy.
Okay. No, I agree with you, Caesar. And I said this earlier when I was talking about the NBA the first time around, that until the Rockets, and that's not just the organization, but it's James Harden and it's Chris Paul, who's now part of that, but had some high-profile collapses with the Clippers. Until the Rockets, until the Raptors can prove that they are a force to be reckoned with on the playoff stage and erase or at least replace the memory of these high-profile collapses in recent years. Houston's had a couple of them. We've also seen that from Toronto, maybe not a collapse, but certainly not living up to expectations. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, took 2 games off Cleveland. We've talked to some members of that organization, guys who cover the team like NBA Canada, and maybe it was too early. Maybe they weren't quite ready for that. But then what did they do last year? It was a chance to build and take another step forward, and it didn't happen for the Raptors. They look like they are locked in. They haven't had the same amount of turnover as some of these other teams that are competing as well. The Celtics obviously changed their roster a ton. You also had that with Cleveland more than once. The Washington Wizards have remained pretty steady. However, they've gone for a long stretch without John Wall, and that maybe changed their playoff position too. Now they got to reacclimate him into the lineup. We've seen the injuries for the Warriors, the Spurs. This is a wide open door for both the Rockets and the Raptors. Can they walk through? Because if they don't, it adds to the idea even more that sure, they can rattle off wins in the preseason and the regular season like nobody's business. But when it comes to the pressure-packed playoff stage, wah, wah, wah. So, yeah, this is the opportunity. They got to do it. They got to do it sooner rather than later, or people are gonna compare this to crying wolf. Oh, yeah, you set us up before, and in the end, it turned out to be a sham. Rob is listening in Charlotte. Rob, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, yeah, I call all the time. I'm old enough to remember the USFL. That's the better model of a football organization that was a different time that worked, and the style of ball was different. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the USFL?
I do not remember watching any games. I certainly remember some of the teams. That's the New Jersey Generals. Were they part of the USFL?
Yes. That was a team that Donald Trump owned.
Okay, well. Maybe that's why it's in my brain, because I've maybe heard it in the news. I did never watch it myself. It would have been a little before I was cognizant of football.
Yeah. It was very exciting football. It was, very different, very remnant of the old AFL football.
Why?
Where it was this high scoring.
Okay.
There was a game that the Jim Kelly and Steve Young had against each other. If you can look it up, it was went over 100 points.
Okay. So it's similar to the Arena Football League, more like that style?
No, they were just heavy on passing, heavy long yards. You just had to see how it was. And, they didn't have much of a fan base, but their fans were loyal, and it was good football. So it can be done.
Okay.
It can be done. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, if the product is backed by NFL players, former NFL players, and NFL names, right away you're going to get more of the recognition and more of a profile. Someone has asked me about the Arena Football League and why it's not getting any attention, but it's down to four teams. I mean, they have four teams. It's hard to continue being a sustainable product with the excitement and attracting fans when there are only four teams and four bases. So we'll see. I mean, it helps to have big names and big money behind you, but it doesn't guarantee the success. So maybe they will look more like the USFL. Thank you, Rob.
And thank you for listening.
It's coming, whether we like it or not. The AAF, I won't call it the AARP anymore. The AAF is coming. It's launching, according to Chris Ebersol, who will be the founder. And again, is Dick Ebersol's son. If you're a sports broadcasting person, you know that name. He's one of the biggest names in all of the industry. But it's coming at the week after the Super Bowl. Like it or not, it's here. So will you pay attention? I think it's fascinating. Some of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Bradford says the UFL was Vegas. No one went to the games. Maybe put it in states that don't have pro football, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Alabama. And then he says, .. Nah, forget it. Donnie says, maybe. How many practice squad guys will leave their teams to get more playing time? True, that is a question, except for some of those practice squad guys will not be allowed to or will want to stick around with their organization to try to find an actual roster spot. And so you're maybe playing with fire a little bit. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want to be away from your own mandatory mini camps and that kind of stuff if you are hoping, if you're a younger player and you're hoping to find a notch on the 53-man roster. Steven says maybe these lesser leagues will siphon NFL players with the allure of a more user-friendly recreational drug enforcement policy. And then he says, ahem, Odell Beckham Jr. He says Odell, but I don't think so. Although maybe the salaries will rival what you can get in the NFL. But I could be wrong. Maybe there are a few players out there like a Ricky Williams who would rather go smoke weed than be in a legitimate professional sports organization where you get tested. Let's remember, as much as the NFL is saying that they're not going to change their rules on pot and smoking marijuana, they only test once a year. If you're not in the program, then they only test you once a year for pot. You know when the test is. And so if you fail that test, it's kind of a joke among NFL players. If you fail that test, then it's on you because they give you plenty of warning. You know when it's happening.
I'm not going to do anything that's going to be a distraction, you know, to this team.
Oh, my gosh. The NFL does turn a blind eye to the number of its players who smoke marijuana. It's not even a secret. It's just that you have to pass the test. And if you don't and you get into their actual drug program, you don't even get suspended for your first positive test, for heaven's sakes. But you land in the program. And if you're in the program, then you're subjected to more tests and random tests. So I don't know. I don't know if that'd be an attractive selling point. We let you smoke as much weed as you want. Could you imagine? We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll continue the conversation. I am busting out of here. Winterstorm Torby, watch out for me. We'll talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.